And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedis, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Cad Bane infiltrates the Jedi Temple in an attempt to steal a holocron. It's up to Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka to stop him. There'll be sneaky shapeshifters, the return of Cad Bane, and Ahsoka getting booked. Get it? Because she worked in the library? I thought it was funny. This week we're talking about holocron heist. How you doing, Chris?
Good.
That's good. Apparently, dear listeners, Chris found a lot of cool Clone Wars stuff at garage sales.
I did. It's a repeat story from Garage Sale Gloat, but it has to do with how I got. Well, we did our garage sailing, and we went to the same community garage sale 2 days in a row, just like for 2 hours before I had to go to work. And the second day, we were driving by this house, and I said, "Stop at their garage sale." I remember this one from like 4 years ago, and my roommate and I were down there, and they had a remote control R2-D2 for sale, and there was a little kid in a little Jedi robe with a lightsaber, and he was a terror.
Did he look like the little kid, the Hobbit kid from the Thousand Moons episode?
Yeah, he was more Dennis the Menace with like blonde, just like raggedy hair and yelling and just swinging the lightsaber randomly, wildly, to where my roommate and I are like, we're going to get whacked with that thing. And eventually we're just like, all right, we're going to get out of here. And we left. But I remember it. So we pulled up and I'm like, hey, I remember your garage sale from like 4 years ago. Didn't you have a kid who liked Star Wars? And they go, we did. Yeah.
We did?
Yeah.
We did? Did something happen to the kid?
Yeah, we didn't go into specifics. I mentioned like that I saw with the lightsaber, and they go, "Whoa, you had have a really good memory." But they had two Star Wars items for sale. One was those little laser etched model kits, and I got one of the Enterprise. This one's of a First Order snowspeeder, and it's really boring looking, but it'll be fun to put together. But the other thing I got was a fleece blanket. It's got Obi-Wan, Anakin, Ahsoka, Yoda, and just a random clone. It's not Rex, because there's no J-Guys.
Listeners, Chris messaged me. He was like, how can I tell if a clone is Rex? And I'm like, because it has the J-Guys on it.
I didn't want to give it away, because I wanted to just mail it to you if it was Rex, so you could wrap up in Rex, but...
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm still looking. And then the next day, I got a nice Watto... like 6-inch Watto figure, and Pez dispenser of my favorite, Chris's Grievous. Favorite, General Grievous. Yeah, so now I can have General Grievous spitting candy out into my mouth from his neck.
You just mean like coughing I've always it into wanted. Your mouth? Huh? Every time you use it, you have to make the cough sound up.
I wish it made a clanking noise, too, every time you opened it.
Yeah, I was telling Chris, I have an Ahsoka and Obi-Wan Clone Wars Pez dispensers that I've had since college. So for at least 6 or 7 years, I've had them. At least. Those are on my knick-knack shelf. They're my babies.
I saw actually at another garage sale, like, kid's floor poster, like a giant-sized poster of the same picture that was on the fleece. But I didn't get it because it was the same picture.
Got it.
Non-Rex.
Well, that sounds awesome. Actually, I have a blanket because my best friend knew I like Star Wars, but like this was before she dated the really awesome nerd that she actually married a few weeks ago, which is why we had to take time off. But this was before she had married the very awesome nerd, so she just knew I liked Star Wars. So she was like, I got you a birthday present. It was a Star Wars thing. And I was like, oh, cool. So I got it. When she gave it to me, she was like, I know you love Star Wars. And she gives it to me, and it's a blanket, but it's from episode one. And I was like, this is great.
It's like Jar Jar.
It has, but it's cool. It has Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Darth Maul fighting on it.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually a really cool blanket. But I was just, I was expecting something like, you know, like A New Hope. Like,
episode one's coming back, man.
Yeah, this was when we were in high school. So this was like 10 years ago. But it's a really cool, it's on my bed every night. I sleep with it. And my cats really love it too.
Cats love those fleeces. They certainly do.
Yeah, so thanks. That's my thing. So yeah, I love that blanket. I also have a Campbell soup blanket. It looks like a giant can of Campbell soup.
Oh, so it's sort of it's kind of a little Andy Warhol tribute too.
Well, it's just a rectangle blanket, and the entire blanket's a can of soup.
Mm-hmm. So if you just have to get multiple blankets, and you could
and just throw them out in the yard, like lay them out in my yard and take a picture of it.
Yeah, that's art.
So, oh yeah. Well, ready to get started on Holocron Heist?
I am ready.
We are in season two, folks.
I know.
We did it. Yeah. So, Holocron Heist is the 23rd episode of Star Wars: The Clone Wars and aired on October 2nd, 2009. It was written by Paul Dini and directed by Justin Ridge. It marks the beginning of Season 2. Some extra information for you. Season 2 was promoted with the tagline, Rise of the Bounty Hunters. The music in the opening fight on Felucia is the edited score from the Battle of Christophsis, first heard in the Clone Wars Season 1, Episode 16, The Hidden Enemy. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni explained that they went to great lengths to show that Cato Paracity, as Jocasta knew, wasn't skilled with a lightsaber. She mostly fought on the defensive, but when she attacked Ahsoka, Cato's moves were wild and uncontrolled. Cato knows how to use a sword, but he went on to say, a lightsaber is a different thing. If you follow through too much, you can cut your own arm off. It was one of Filoni's favorite fights, as he said, it was fun to see Jocasta, or someone who looked like Jocasta, fighting. Jocasta also didn't have a lightsaber in the archives, so they created a brand new one for her in the episode. They made it look like it was keys hanging on her side. I also wanted to give a small amount of honor to Aletha McGrath, who played Jocasta Nu in the prequel trilogies. This is Jocasta's first appearance in the Clone Wars, and Aletha McGrath passed away recently on February 9th, 2016. May you rest in peace, madam. And then one thing I noticed on the Wikipedia page that I'd never noticed before is all the Clone Wars episode takes place in a time called Rise of the Empire era. And I just always thought it would be called the Clone Wars era. And the more I looked into it, the Rise of the Empire era takes place from 1000 BBY to year 0 BBY, encompassing the entire Golden Age of the Republic timeline. And I just thought that was really a crazy long length of time.
I don't know if I agree with that. I would agree with that. I would start the Rise of the Empire like after episode 3, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I would take it a little bit sooner. I would start the Rise of the Empire when probably Palpatine became a senator, because he purposely killed the senator he never cleared it, but you can assume that he killed the new senator before him, and then he worked his way up to the Senate to be the chancellor. That's kind of when I would say that this is the Rise of the Empire. But that's just my how I see it. I think it's whenever Palpatine was born was the rise of the Empire. But a 1,000-year period is a massive amount of time for it to be. I just thought that was so strange when I saw that. I was like, what does it mean to be the rise of the Empire?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So it struck me as odd. So anyway, as always on Jay Gods and Jedi's, because we are so classy, it is time for Space Latitudes with our sexy Yoda. Take it away, Chris. This might be one of my new favorites.
A lesson learned is a lesson earned. In bed.
did Grievous pop some Pez in your mouth?
Yeah. I think I have a Yoda Pez dispenser somewhere. I should get it and at the end of everything, he coughs up a little Pez as your reward.
You turning them to each other, and you turn Grievous to Yoda, and you just like pop open Grievous's mouth and just goes. Kah! So it just like cops pets at your Yoda pet dispenser. Kah! Oh no! You're getting slim on me!
Well, I would picture both of them which should have green Pez in them, yes. For different reasons.
Ew, you nasty. You nasty. I guess we should get into Act 1, shouldn't we? Ew, you're such a boy.
You're gonna learn that, earn that lesson.
So Act 1. Was that in, yes?
Yes.
I was still talking? Are we still shooting the shit?
I just thought you were leading in.
Okay, anyway. So Act 1. Stuck on Felucia, Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka's forces are pinned down by the Separatist armies. Their troops are split up as Ahsoka is leading her own men. A Republic cruiser is able to punch a hole in the Separatist blockade around the planet and sends a group of gunships led by Plo Koon to retrieve them. The gunships arrive, and Rex gives the orders that they are leaving. They check in with Ahsoka, who's just east of them. She's showboating a bit as she exclaims that they're winning! Obi-Wan states she's about to be overrun and can't see the bigger picture. They land the gunships in front of Ahsoka's forces to cut her off. Anakin demands her to get on the ship. Finally, she follows orders. As they're pulling away, she can see the entire battlefield now. Another wave of droids were only seconds away and destroys her tanks she was only on moments ago. Back on Coruscant, Ahsoka is brought before the Jedi Council to discuss her actions. She says she got caught up in the battle and she wasn't trying to be disobedient, she just forgot to see it as a whole. Anakin takes part of the blame himself, stating that her advanced skills made him forget that she is still learning. What Blanket Windu and Yoda sticks her on guard duty for the Jedi Archives to think about her actions.
Ahsoka's in trouble. Going to the principal's office.
Oh, Principal Windu.
Well, no, I see Yoda. I always see like the principal as being more the Yoda too, and the wet blanket Windu is like the vice principal, who's always the like hard ass. You know, the vice principal is always more hard, doles out the punishment more than the principal.
I guess like whenever I see like Avengers AUs like with Thanos and stuff like that, they always make Nick Fury the principal. So, and like Coulson's usually the vice principal. That's a lot of like Avengers things. So when I think of like Principal Samuel L. Jackson, I think of
yeah, that's for sure.
Speaking of Windu, while we're talking about Windu, I realized something the other day because someone did this amazing fan art on Tumblr and it was so beautiful. And then it hit me that Kanan and Ezra actually come from Windu's line of Padawans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Windu taught Depa Bialba, who was Kanan's master and now Ezra's master. And I was like, how did we go from Wet Blanket Windu to Ezra?
Wet Blanket would not be pleased.
No, he would not. He would be like bitching at Kanan to get these children together.
Yeah.
But I never realized that he was Depa Bialba's mentor. Like, I didn't realize that that was her master. And I was just like, wow, dang. I guess, like, it makes it, and then I realized it makes it more, like, great when Kanan meets Shamt and Doola and they're talking about Mace Windu. Because that was, like, his, I guess, his grandmaster, like a grandfather, but his grandmaster. And I was like, oh, that makes way more sense. That was his master's master. So it made that seem like I didn't realize that was that. Anyway.
Yeah, I imagine that would be like the first topic that Jedi would talk about would be like to break the ice would be their like tracing their masters and stuff. It would be like the only common sort of thing, except for Yoda maybe might be the only common thing because they all get Yoda as a kid, right? So they could all be like, hey, that Yoda, what are you? Hey.
He's kind of smelly. I don't know. Did he touch your butt too?
Remember how foul it was when he would fart? All that guy ate was bugs.
It'd be like Hakuna Matata everywhere. So what did you think of Act 1?
Well, first off, I was just this album, I almost said. This season is starting out with a bang, and I forgot how much they were hyping up Season 2 also when between Season 1 and Season 2.
Yeah, I remember all the promos. Like, mm-hmm. I just remember they had this really cool Cad Bane promo. Because after Hostage Crisis came out, everybody was just like, "Who the hell is this Cad Bane guy? Oh my god!" And so, like, a lot of the commercials were featured with Cad Bane. They're like, he's cool, he's sleek, he has a hat.
Right, watch so the Bounty Hunters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I forgot, and they came back with a bang. They showed this episode and the next episode back to back, and the first thing that I noticed watching this again is, boom, I'm going to be interested to see if this goes from episode 3 of season 2 on, or if they just spent some extra time and money on these first two to come out with a bang. But they're way more cinematic. Like, it seems like they're almost higher definition. They're working with the light and shadow and details more, and they're whipping they're moving the camera around like a real movie, and they're doing the Star Wars wipes, and the sound design is gorgeous in this one. So,
yeah.
You know, it's beautiful. The space battles have an extra little Star Wars-iness to them.
There's definitely an animation jump between the seasons. Like, I feel like, you know, since I had several months to in between seasons to, like, work on it and stuff like that, like, there was definitely an advancement.
Like, the story is introduced here in this first act. Is a pretty standard first act for a Clone Wars, but it's hypercharged. It's almost like it's way better quality than the movie, you know.
Yeah.
You can see the reflective quality of light and stuff like that. So it almost like comes back with the familiar, but just dressed up sharper.
I swear you were about to say it was like putting lipstick on a pig.
No.
Fancier pigs.
No,
definitely.
Just making the good better.
Yeah, there was a couple times like here and there. I mostly noticed it on Kato, but it might just because of the creature she is. She looked a little rough at times, like she was almost like a model. But then the more I looked at it, I was like, I think it's just the kind of creature it is. Because you know when you have like earlier models, like you don't have the texture of skin.
Well, that's sort of how she looked. I mean, she's the same race as the shapeshifter
from episode
assassin from episode two. The beginning of episode
Zam.
Two.
Isn't her name Zam?
Yeah, that they chase for in the beginning, you know, the first sequence where they chase her through the city. And she had a kind of fake look to her, too, you know?
Yeah.
So I think they were sort of, and they exaggerated that.
Like, she didn't have the texture on her skin that everybody, like, you can look at Bane and see, like, the texture in his skin, like, the lines of his mouth moving and everything. She just looked very flat and modelly, but then I kind of realized that might just be what she looks like. She might just have very smooth, because, like, whenever she turned into somebody else, it was almost like a hologram. So right. I kind of like this idea of, like, it almost being her skin being so smooth so it could reflect light and reflect the hologram of her shifting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sort of. It doesn't line up with episode 2 where she sort of, like, almost deflated into that. You know what I mean? She's sort of, like, her skin just sort of back into her alien form. It looked like she was dying of, like, you know, being consumed from within, but she was really just going from a more rounded out human form to her more shrivelly lizardy form.
Yeah. So Kira's animation bothered me a little bit, but the more I thought about it, I was just like, maybe this is just the creature that she is.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the creature she is has, like, really super smooth skin, so they don't need texture details on her face, like Cad Bane, where you can, like, see, like, little lines around where his respirator is, like, setting on his skin, which looks so nice.
Yeah, I think they spent a little extra time and attention on Cad Bane. Because
he's kind of
the star of these two episodes. He's not even in it yet, but
he was, and this is like an unofficial like thing, but the StarWars.com guys did a rating of their top favorite bounty hunters, and they classed them on certain things, and Bane was the number one spot.
He kicks more ass than, say, Boba Fett, and then who else is there?
Imbo was on the list, Bosk was on the list, Dengar was on the list.
Oh, yeah, but I'm...
They had Ventress on the list when she turns into a bounty hunter.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, Ventress maybe, but all those other guys, whatever, they're all, you know, they're Bush League.
IG-88's
Bush League, that form of robot kicks ass, but we never saw IG... We don't know if IG-88 was that good. He could have been rusty, literally.
Yeah. Was IG-88... in the box episodes? I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen the box. You haven't even reached the box episode, so you know how idea what I'm talking about. Oh, it's this cool series of episodes where Obi-Wan goes undercover as a bounty hunter. And
I remember those. I think I saw those.
Yeah, and they have to survive, like, Dooku's, like, tests and trials, and, like, Bane is there.
Yeah, doesn't he actually, like, have some procedure to change his face?
Yeah.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that.
So it was on the few times, I think it was the only time throughout the entire series of Clone Wars that we saw him without a beard, because he had to shave his beard to do the procedure. And I just remember going, oh my god, you look so weird. It's like when you have a friend and they have a big burly beard, and I have a friend named Jesse, and I love this guy to death, but he has a bald head, and he has a big, massive, burly beard, like, bald head. And one time he showed me a picture of him, like, with his bald head and shaved, and I was like, dude, you look like a dick.
You look like you're just about to, ready to waste away.
No, he looked like a dick. Like, his bald head and this.
Oh, like an actual penis?
Like an actual penis.
With a bald head, I see, okay.
And I was just like, oh, God, no, you need your beard. You look like a dick. With love.
Now you're a hairy dick.
So, for me, on this first part, I must say the best line of the entire episode is when Obi-Wan was saying that Ahsoka was following Anakin's teachings, and Anakin goes, is she winning?
Theoretically, she was, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. And overall, this is a very action-packed setup episode. Just like the one on Ryloth, I love episodes where Ahsoka eats humble pie. And I like the reminder that she is young and she's still learning and everything. Because the fact that she makes mistakes and she's not perfect is what made me fall in love with her in the first place. Because the Jedi are almost, like, always, like, so perfect all the time, but she made mistakes. And so, like, I really could, like, associate with her. And Ahsoka actually kind of reminded me of Ezra in this opening act. Because there's a lot of times Ezra puts way too much faith in his own abilities and he'll completely ignore Kanan. And then he gets in trouble for it.
Yep.
So, like, I definitely saw a connection with Ezra and Ahsoka in this one. Maybe it's a Padawan thing.
Well, you know, probably Anakin spent a good amount of time dusting off erasers in the Jedi Library, too, archives. Back during his early training.
I could see, like, Obi-Wan being like, just sit here, don't move for, like, 2 hours. I need a break.
Yeah.
I need a break. So, yeah, but that's really all I had for season one. It was kind of a short act. There's way more in season two.
It's short act, and it's none of the story. It's all just setup and action.
Yeah, I almost put some of the Seth Green, some of the Cad Bane stuff in this, but I was like, it doesn't come into like the 10th minute.
Right.
So, anyway, act two?
Act two. I'm ready.
All right. In the Holocron archives, Ahsoka apologizes to Anakin for her mistakes. He understands, stating he wasn't a Padawan that long ago. He leaves her with Jedi Master Jacasa Nu, the most delightful old lady ever. She shows Ahsoka around the library, talking about how there's more knowledge in this place than the rest of the galaxy. She notes there's an inner chamber that only the Jedi Council can access because it holds the Jedi's greatest secrets. Across town, Cad Bane stands by a window with a cool guy pose and a toothpick. He's contacted by Darth Sidious in need of his service. He wants Bane to sneak into the Jedi Temple to retrieve a holocron. When Bane says that it's nearly impossible and deadly, Sidious says that Bane's reputation has preceded him. Bane then starts listing off all the things he needs for the mission. Price is no problem since Sidious will give him the means to sneak in. Bane says it's a deal. Setting up his droid, Toto 360, voiced by the wonderful Seth Green, I love Seth Green so much, with a bomb, there's an accomplice, their accomplice for the mission arrives. She's a shapeshifter named Kato Paracity. He runs through the plan with her, including how Toto has been upgraded for the mission. He also has a dead Jedi in the room named Ord Innocence, and that he wants Kato to shift into. As Obi-Wan and Anakin are debriefing the mission on Felucia, Yoda senses a disturbance in the Force. He foresees Bane's coming attack. They start looking for the intruder and wrongly assume their intruder is looking for the Jedi transmitter codes with troop information. Anakin heads for the east tower of the temple while Obi-Wan goes for the central communication center. I just realized Ord Innocence, his name is a play on innocence because he was an innocent dude being killed. Just realized that as I read it out loud.
And Paracity is pretty obvious, too.
Parasite?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe she's a pretty sight because she's a lady and they're pretty. She could be like a looker in her people.
She's a party sight.
She's
fun. Yeah.
I just imagine her like shapeshifting to a bunch of people, like a party girl. Like, yeah. So what did you think about Act Two?
So Seth Green is having fun doing his C-3PO impression.
He really is.
He's just being C-3PO.
I'm actually really happy they did get Seth Green because he's a known huge Star Wars nerd, and we've talked about him multiple times how much we both love the robot chicken versions of Star Wars.
Well, he's going to get a little robot chicken part because he's kind of a short little C-3PO. And you know he ain't long for this world. You know his only use is to be useful to Cad Bane and to be abused.
There is a time jump episode where, I think it's a season 2 episode, actually, where Toto is back. And it was one of those things I was like, didn't Toto die? And it was when I started realizing, oh, these episodes are not chronological. But Toto is back for one other episode.
I wonder, it's got to be some reference to Wizard of Oz also.
Yeah, Toto.
Yeah.
We're not in Coruscant anymore.
I thought it was pretty intense that Cad Bane's got his own dead Jedi slumped in a chair for a cartoon show.
I was wondering about that. Like, if the Jedi are so good at sensing the Force, how did no one sense that Ord Innocence had died? Just, like, no one just cared about Ord. They're like, oh, Ord.
He was just one of those boring background Jedi, red shirt Jedis. Cad Bane's just, he's just all kinds of awesome in this episode. This episode is establishing his awesomeness and... what they never did with any bounty hunters in any of the movies is establishing him as not just a badass, but like an evil. He's evil. He's ruthless. You know, he takes special relish in killing Jedi.
And he's smart.
Yeah.
That's so important. Cause
he's not messing around at all.
He's not a stooge like Dooku.
No, or like, frankly, like, why can't I remember his name? One of the most popular Star Wars characters of all time, Boba Fett. Boba Fett's kind of a stooge, too, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of it's just, like, we didn't get much of Boba. I know I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I only want a Boba Fett movie if it's him and Cad Bane.
That would be awesome.
The Lost Ark, there's a Lost Clone War arc that they never got a chance to make, because it would have been season 7. And it was Cad Bane teaching Boba Fett. If that's not the Boba Fett movie, I have no fucks to give. I don't care.
Well, just the way Cad Bane is traveling through the ductwork and stuff, they've just created this perfect villain. He's got a great hat that flaps around in the wind. Yeah, he's basically Clint Eastwood. He's sort of like an evil version of Clint Eastwood from a spaghetti western, but he actually talks a little more. He's not really the man of few words. He will talk, but he's just got that lizardy cunning to him. It's great. He's a great character. He's the best, one of the best characters in Star Wars, you know?
Oh, yeah. I actually got really excited and super sad when I was reading the comic Shattered Empire, because there's a character that's the same race as Cad Bane that was just like, oh, is this Cad Bane? And I was really excited. And then they're like, hey, Lulu, what's up? And I was like, fuck you, Lulu. Fuck you. Because I know that Cad Bane is still around when the Empire rises. He's got to be. He's not a punk. He doesn't go out like a punk in a Sarlacc.
No, but he does strike me as the kind of guy who would retire someday and with stash money around and retire, only to be brought back in a movie, you know, out of retirement in his old age.
Well, I would love to see Cad Bane in a movie.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. Just a note about the scene, too. Bane is looking at a computer screen, and he's looking at Bulla Rapal. That's important for next week.
What about a movie of Darth Vader recruiting Cad Bane to kill Jedi, help him kill Jedi?
What if it happens in Rebels? Like, the Empire's just like, we can't fucking catch these Rebels. And Vader's just like, I know a guy.
I know somebody who killed quite a few Jedi and didn't really care about it.
Oh, I just imagine Bane versus Maul. Maybe the cockroach would actually die.
Oh.
Maul would finally die. He would finally die! Yay! Finally, after 27 years, I just made up a number.
Oh, the guy got, it's like Rasputin or something, you know, you just can't. I mean, he got bisected, come on.
I know, and then he got spider legs?
Yeah.
And then, I like Darth Maul as a character, I just, they don't need to bring back the fucking time.
Chewbacca was supposed to get the spider legs.
Just die! Just die! I was like hoping Vader would kill them all finally. Just die already!
I'm just glad he got to become an actual character after episode one, you know? He got to actually get something filled in.
Yes, I will totally give that to you. I like what they do with a lot of his character, but it's also one of the things I'm just like, oh my god, it's Maul. He should have died 20 times. Mm-hmm. He's like, he is a Gary Stu. He is the Mary Sue of Star Wars. The evil Mary Sue. He just won't die. Anyway, what did you think about the second act?
I liked it. This is what it's all about with these first two episodes. Basically showing you Cad Bane in action, being one step ahead of all of the Jedi in their house. He's in their house, and he's one step ahead of them pretty much all the time.
They're kind of dumb in this episode. They're like, it has to be the communication center.
I got some notes on that in the next segment.
Me too. Well, my last shallow notes before I get into my bigger notes. When Kato is Ord Innocence, he's voiced by our lovely clone voice actor, Dee Bradley Baker. So woo. You can hear it, too. I'm just like, this sounds like really old Grumpy Rex. It sounds like him. And then just a few notes about the line Anakin says when he was not a Padawan that long ago. I've been reading the book Wild Space recently. And so far, it's mostly, I'm only like gone jump like about 100 pages in, but it's mostly just covered the few months of the Clone Wars, the first few months following the Battle of Geonosis in episode 2. And it actually does a really good job being inside of Anakin's head. Because they really cover a lot of his doubts about being very recently a Jedi Knight. Like, he was turned into a Jedi Knight right after Geonosis and then, like, thrown into this fucking war as a Jedi Knight. And it also has these things about, like, how he feels about Ahsoka. There's a great moment, and you'll love this, Chris, where she's just like, hey, Sky Guy! And he's like, don't call me Sky Guy. She's like, I hate that name.
We all do.
When she gets all, like, quivery-lipped and sad, he's like, okay, you can call me Sky Guy in private. And she's like, yay! So I don't like how they write Ahsoka so far in this book, though. Even though it's not canon anymore, I highly recommend Wild Space. There's some really great scenes so far with Palpatine, too, like being inside Palpatine's head.
That must be fun.
It is so good to read because there's like scenes where it's him and Yoda talking and he's just like, oh, Yoda, you're doing so good. And it's like inside his head. He's like, you're a stupid little imp. I can't wait to kill you. And oh, man, it's fun seeing how Palpatine like weaves everything together. There's a great moment where he's with Organa and Padme and he realizes he's like, huh, does Organa have a crush on Padme? Maybe not a crush. He respects her, and he likes her a lot. Not a crush. I should make Anakin think it's a crush. And so it's such a great book, but especially being inside Anakin's head. Remember the episode where they go to Bothawai, and they're hiding Rex and the clones like on the asteroid field, and they shoot Grievous' ship from behind?
Oh, yeah.
It's been leading up to that battle in the book where I've been reading, and it's Anakin's first time, I didn't realize in that episode, and maybe it's just the book's not in the canon anymore, so this was just an EU thing, but in the book, that's Anakin's first time leading a group without Obi-Wan, and it's his first time doing that, and he just has all this excitement. He's like, Padme, I'm going to war, and she's like, but what if you mess up? And she's like, oh shit, it's my first time, what if I mess up? So it's really just fun to see, like, young Anakin and seeing him having doubts of only being a knight for, gosh, maybe a few months. And he just isn't quite sure how to be a Jedi Knight yet, too. So I highly recommend Wild Space. It's a really good read. My other two notes are, I was reading up on Jocasta Nu on Wikipedia because I hadn't seen episodes 2 since I was a kid. And I knew she had been in episode 2, but I haven't seen it since I was a kid. So I completely forgot that they didn't even know about Kamino, where our lovely clones existed, mm-hmm. until very recently. And then I was like, how did they not know about it? Because there's a Kamino senator. Were they just like, oh, we found this planet. Want to come be a senator? And I guess she was like, sure, that sounds like fun.
Why not?
Yeah. So I'm only here to, because the Separatist planted me here. But
boring and rainy here.
Yeah, sunshine. I just imagine, like, she lands on Coruscant, takes, like, 5 seconds off her ship and just sunburns.
Well,
just
she heard on Coruscant's the only place to get a decent neck massage, too. Had a crick in hers for years.
Yeah. Oh, man. She just sunburns within 5 seconds off her ship. Duh. And then, since bounty hunters work for the highest price bidder, and we've seen there's honorable ones like in the episode Bounty Hunters, I often wonder why the Republic didn't use bounty hunters more, or the Separatists for that matter. Because I know it's a money issue and this war is really costing both sides, but I feel like they should be using bounty hunters more for specialty missions and it would really make the war go faster.
The problem with bounty hunters is they're a security risk because they do go to the highest bidder. So if they work for you, they could conceivably be hired by your enemy and then just paid to get whatever intelligence they get, you know, whatever they know from working with the other side. You know what I mean? So
see,
it's sort of a double-edged
sword.
Republic
guys would do. But that's what the dumb Republic guys would do. But the Separatists, I could be like, hey, money's no object.
Right.
Do this always. Like, Bane could easily end the war himself.
Yeah, if somebody put him to work. Yeah.
So I always just wonder why they didn't use bounty hunters more than they did. So, I don't know. I need an episode of Bane and Hondo together.
Ooh, that sounds like the name of a whole series or a movie. Bane
and Hondo buddy cop mission?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I would, yeah.
No, they just get stranded on a desert planet like a Western.
Oh, yeah. Dave Filoni, make it happen. Especially the old Hondo we have now in Rebels and old Cad Bane. Oh, man, Bane is a grouchy
old man. It could be like the Odd Couple or Grumpy Old Man or something like that.
Or even better, just Old Man Rex with Old Hondo and Old Bane.
Ooh.
They have to work together to survive. Oh, my God, I would watch the crap out of that.
It would be
episode.
Like the Three Amigos.
And it ends with the ghost crew showing up. Hey, Rex! Hondo.
No singing bush in that one, though.
That'd be great. Did you have anything else for Act 3?
No, that's all I got.
Well, on to Act 3, because Act 2 is what I meant. Onward! Act 3. Okay. Bane's mission begins. Ahsoka meets up with quote-unquote Ord Innocence in the library and pesters him if he needs any assistance. He snaps at her and sends her away, unaware that Jocasta Nu overheard the conversation. Kato sends Toto coordinates for the weak points in the shield, and Bane successfully gets in. For a moment, all the scanners blip out as Kato jams their systems. Yoda tells Obi-Wan and Anakin their intruder has arrived. Bane and Toto almost get sucked into a ventilation system, but Kato covers them from the library. Jocasta Nu disturbs Kato, and she knocks Jocasta out. Kato takes on Jocasta's form and returns to the controls. Obi-Wan and Anakin find where Bane broke in and starts to follow. Once again, they assume wrongly that Bane is after the communication center, as Kato deactivates the laser grid protecting the holocron vault. The Jedi realize they're not heading to the communication center, and the intruders must have a person on the inside. Yoda tells Ahsoka that there's an intruder posing as a Jedi. She overhears Kato leading Bane and confronts her. A lightsaber fight breaks out, but Kato isn't skilled with a lightsaber. Ahsoka quickly uses the Force to trip Kato with a chair and captures her. She warns Anakin and Obi-Wan about the intruder heading to the holocron vault. Once again, they believe Bane's after the communication center, through the vault. Realizing that Kato has been captured, Bane sends Toto to the communication center and blows a hole in the vault. The Jedi arrive and follow Toto away from Bane. With the Jedi gone, Bane easily strolls into the holocron vault and takes the holocron he needs. Toto flops into the communication center with the other Jedi. When he starts to beep, Windu realizes it's a bomb and shoves Toto back into the vent with Anakin and Obi-Wan fleeing in fear. Bane steals the Jedi robe and sneaks right by Ahsoka and Jocasta Nu with the holocron in his hand. The Jedi realize that Bane never was never after the communications. Kato reveals Bane's next target is Bola Rapal. Bola Rapal is the keeper of the Kyber memory crystal with a list of every known Force-sensitive child in the galaxy. Now the future of the Jedi Order is at risk. Ahsoka and Anakin head out to seek Bola Rapal. Yay!
Wow.
Yeah,
that was a dense one.
I wasn't quite sure where to break it, to be really honest with you.
Man, my takeaway on this is Jedi are arrogant suckers. They got suckered in their own arrogance and like, oh, nobody would want to steal a holocron because only a Jedi could open it. Shows their whole blindness to, you know, the Sith stuff sort of happening around them, even though they've seen Darth Maul. They're like, oh, why would someone want a holocron? Well, you know, there's a Sith running around, you know, maybe he would want it, which is exactly what is going on. But they're just like, oh, no, they're coming for the, you know, war stuff. And it also is a good example of how Palpatine's playing it to, you know, he's got the war going on as the perfect cover to make things look like that's the reason something's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I hit it about that, too. I mean, Yoda say it himself that it's the arrogance of the Jedi that brings down their order?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's why they have Order 66. I mean, like, people are so trusting in the Jedis, and they're so full of themselves, but when the war keeps going on and on, the people start distrusting the Jedi, and it's their own arrogance and their own fault that they fall.
Yep, and they never see it coming.
Nope, not even a little bit.
I'm always excited when I hear the Kyber crystal mentioned, being a Splinter of the Mind's Eye fan.
I saw that on the Wikipedia. I almost put a note about it just for you, but I was like, I don't know enough about this thing.
You should read Splinter of the Mind's Eye. I would really love to hear your take on Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
When I find time.
It's the rarest Star Wars novel of all because it was. It's the only one that was written between Star Wars and Jedi. So, you know, you're getting inside Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker's heads, but this was when, you know, the authors still thought they were a potential romantic interest each other. So there's, you know, there's all those elements of, like, you have to take it as only working off the information you got in Star Wars.
Oh my God.
But as that, it's a fantastic book. But it gets a little weird at times. There's one time where, you know, Princess Leia has to change her clothes and Luke's doing the little, like, peek through his fingers.
Oh man. There's a great interview with all the new cast from The Force Awakens. And they're like, so what was your reaction when you found out Luke and Leia were sisters? And I can't remember if it's. I don't remember who it was, but it was one of the guys. It was either the actor that plays Finn or the actor that plays Poe, and he just goes, and I think the other one went, it ruined my entire childhood.
I'm sure that I'm sure that they definitely, in the new Star Wars movies, they definitely decided to work that stuff out before they went ahead with the movies. I hope they did anyway.
Yeah. So, my notes about this, my shallow note is, come on, bad guys. I know you're on a timeline, but Kato should have taken a few seconds to shove Jocasta under a table or something, because she left Jocasta right in the middle of the floor.
Just hanging out there while she's on the internet.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, even if Ahsoka doesn't walk by, I mean, there's still other Jedi in the area and stuff like that. Just shove her under a table so she's in the middle of the freaking floor. And then my other two notes were, we got a tease of Bane in season one finale, but I love him even more in this episode. Like, this was the episode I really fell in love. I thought he was cool in the finale, but this was the episode I really super fell in love with him. Because we see how incredibly crafty he is, and yes, Grievous is brutal, and Dooku is a Sith Lord, but Bane is the first real challenge the Jedi haven't been able to beat. In this episode and the next episode, we see that he's a Jedi killer and a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, he's a true villain on the level of Darth Vader, you know, in far as being deadly, smart, and completely dangerous. And just being cool. Cool looking, he acts cool, he's just great to have on the screen.
If he wasn't evil, I'd want to hang out with him.
Right, exactly. Well, I don't know if he's a just relaxing kind of guy, but yeah, he'd be a good person to have as a friend. That's for sure.
Yeah, or at least an uneasy ally.
Yeah.
And just a note, it's unsure if a Kyber memory crystal is the same as the Kyber crystals used to power lightsabers like Kylo Ren's and the crystal that powers the Death Star planet-destroying Death Beam. They're both called the same thing, but it looks like there's no relation between the Kyber crystal and the Kyber memory crystals. They just share the same name, which I found weird.
Yeah. Maybe Kyber was somebody that, like, collected crystals, so all his crystals got his name attached to
it. He's a famous geologist in the Star Wars world.
Or she, or it, or whatever in Star Wars creature land, but yeah. Or maybe Kyber is a word that means something, like, I don't know.
Discover, like, a new bug or a new kind of, like, mineral or something and just name it something really dumb. This is the butt beetle.
That's actually a great name for a beetle.
This is the butt spider.
If you just found some random beetle and changed its name to the butt beetle, you could probably sell them at pet stores, like, by the millions.
Or it should be, like, some deadly poisonous bug.
Well, there's already the dung beetle. You could have dung beetles and butt beetles and
square
off against each other.
If I discover a new spider, I would call it the asshole. Or the son of Satan.
I'm going to name it
the son of Satan because I hate spiders.
Son of Satan spider would be great. And it would have to be the most harmless little spider ever.
No, there's no such thing.
Oh.
No, no such thing. I was so proud of myself. I successfully killed a spider the other day and I didn't set my house on fire. I was so proud of me. Did not set the house on fire at all. I was so proud.
Yeah, they don't bother me, so I live and let live. Of course, I don't have any, like, deadly spiders around here to worry about, or tarantulas, or, you know. If you get into the woods, there's some huge ones around, you know, these parts. You can get the ones that are almost, you know, with their legs that are the size of your hand. I used to get them on that, spiders and moths the size of your hand on my father's window out in the woods, you know, attracted to the light, but they were all non-toxic, non-harmful, but creepy as hell.
We got the brown recluses here in Georgia.
Yeah, those are no good.
Yeah, the flesh-eating brown recluses.
We've got them around here, too, but they're very, very rare.
Yeah. Well, did you have anything else for Act 3?
Nope, that's about it.
All right, so what did you think about the episode as a whole?
I loved it. It lived up to the hype of bringing back, I mean, Paul Dini's a good writer too, so it's well written, it was extremely well executed, they put a lot of time into the visual element of it too, so it didn't, you know, like in CG animation, you know, you don't have a big camera set up, so you can turn the camera every way, and it's the same in a lot of video game, like cutscenes and stuff, and can often give away that it's CG or make it look very fake. And they did a lot of camera moves in this, but they were like real camera moves, and it just gave it a very cinematic feel to it. And but all that was like the surface of it. And the takeaway from it is Cad Bane is awesome. Cad Bane is a riot to watch. And I love it when you have something like Clone Wars that's dealing with canon characters, but like they're bringing characters that are just as good, if not better, than a lot of the canon characters they have. It's a really good sign, you know. It adds a lot to the whole dynamic, to the stew, I guess. It's a tasty ingredient to the stew that's worthy of any level of Star Wars, you know. Cad Bane could be put into a numbered Star Wars movie and I would be very happy, and he would be, and people would love it.
So, yeah, like that's why I get so mad when people are just like, oh, I never watched Clone Wars, it's a kid show. And I'm like, you seriously have no idea what you're missing.
You're missing some just awesome, fertile Star Wars there, you know, some iconics. It's eventually going to be viewed as iconic Star Wars, you know, as the decades go by. People will think less of, like, distinguishing Clone Wars from the movie. It'll just be part of the Star Wars canon. And I think it'll be held up as, I mean, as good, if not better, than the prequels. Well, I don't know why I pause and, like, say that like that, because I think I've said it already 5 times, so it's nothing I really have to think about.
Clone Wars is better than the prequels.
In a lot of ways.
It makes the prequels make sense. Like, the war actually made sense. Thanks to
well, writing and execution wise, it is in a lot of ways, and in some cases, the acting. The actor plays Anakin, I think, is the voice actor Anakin is way more appealing than the movie Anakin.
I heard a rumor, and I don't know if this is true, but apparently Hayden Christensen, who played Anakin in the prequels, is back as Vader in Rogue One. Like, he's been seen around set. And I think he's the one that's actually in the Vader suit.
Oh, that's an expensive choice.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Hayden Christensen actually retired from acting after the prequels. Like, he bought a farm where he lives, and, like, he retired from acting because he didn't want to do it anymore. So, like, if they brought him back, I kind of like that choice, but at the same time, especially since he's in the Vader suit, so we're not going to see him. But I think that's also, like, a really cool thing. Like, if he gets unmasked on any point, it's Anakin's face. And I'm like, that's a really cool choice.
Well, maybe that's the reason of it, is you're going to see some... But well, they also say in Rogue Squadron that there's one of the plots is about how Vader gets... You know, there's been a lot of talk about from, the prequels to when you see him fighting Obi-Wan in Star Wars as to, like, what happened to Darth Vader? Why doesn't he have... Why can't he just flip his arm and fling Obi-Wan right down the hallway? You know, that sort of stuff. And apparently Rogue One is going to cover that by either showing the aftermath of some sort of tangle that he got into that totally messed him up, you know, further, that took him down a few more pegs while he was in the Vader suit. So, you know, there's actually another phase of Vader suit where he's even more injured than the post-Episode 3 Anakin, if you can believe that. So
I was about to say, like, he was limping after...
There's not much left of him, yeah.
Yeah, he was limping after his fight with Ahsoka in the Rebels finale. He messed him up pretty good, probably.
Yeah, I would hope so.
So, all right, well, my final thoughts on the episode of the one that we're actually recording for... I love this episode. We start with Ahsoka in hot water, and then we get to see her redeem herself. And Cad Bane is the biggest threat we've had so far in this series. My only gripe is that the Jedi are so sure that Bane's at the communication center and come off as really stupid. Though this is the reason, as we said earlier, that the Order eventually falls. It's easy to assume that no one will get a holocron because only a Jedi can open it, and it's what causes their downfall. They can't even see the end coming. So even though the Jedi came off pretty stupid, I gave the episode 16 out of 20.
I gave it an 8, too, so, like, same exact score this time.
Yep, we got it. We're on the same page this time.
I don't think it was a fault of the script that the Jedi came out stupid. I actually think that was a strength. It's good to see... It was good to see that the Jedi could get a black eye on their own home turf, you know, and it's indicative of what's coming for them later, you know, that they're not the perfect, you know, force that they seem to be, pun intended.
I like how the first two episodes we have Cad Bane, he's taken over the Senate and he's infiltrated the Jedi Temple. And it's now like we have this thing of like, oh my God, what is he going to do next? Those are, like, two big hits. Like, he took out the Senate building and the temple. Like, those are massive hits. So I like this aspect of this is a wild card. When he's on screen, you literally have no idea what he's going to do.
And he did it both casually as just doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a matter of pride. You know, Palpatine played him a little bit, but still.
Yeah.
That he may not have been trying to wimp out of it. He was probably just trying to negotiate the price up more, you know.
Yeah. Well, as always, if you like what we have to say, or if you don't like what we have to say, we want to hear from you. Feel free to rate and review us on iTunes, and we'll read your review right here on Jagas and Jedis. And it helps people find the show. So if you really like us, help us out, man, or ladies, or other genders, or Rodians, or Turugas, or Twi'leks. Help people find our show, and give us a nice pimp out. You can also talk to us on our Facebook page and all that good stuff. So, speaking of the Facebook page...
Tortillas and cheese nips and all them aliens.
That just reminded me of a song. There's a band called Starbomb, and Starbomb is an offshoot band of another band called Ninja Sex Party, which was created by the YouTubers, Let's Play reviewers called the Game Grumps. And you know how it started off with 150 Pokemon, and now there's a bajillion of them?
Uh-huh.
Well, the song was off Starbomb's album. They were like, we're going to do the Poké Rap. They're like, yeah. And the first five were original Pokemon. And then they just start, like, naming random shit like car keys, ball sack, cheese nips, pencil head.
Axe body like, spray.
Yeah, like, they just start naming random items and, like, dumb names and, like, dumb things like Hammerhead.
Kickapoo.
Yeah, like, they, like, just, like, it's hilarious, so. Anyway.
Peekabot. Peekabot was the name of, and when Scott and I did, I just remember this, when Scott and I, and it's a great name, that when Scott and I did our parodies of Star Wars on audio when we were kids, that was the name of the Probot from Empire Strikes Back that they shoot in the snow. We call it the Peekabot.
Aww.
Because it sort of peekabooed up over the snow.
Yeah,
and it made a peekaboo. It like literally in like a computer voice was like peekaboo, and then got blown up.
So, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at Peekabot Central. We also made a creature called the Wild Waffeldorfer Beast at TwoTrueFreaks.com, where all the freaks live, the land of misfit freaks. So they're like an extra layer of freakishness upon them. We got so many kinds of niche, like specific comic. We've got based podcast, you know, like we've got a Thor podcast. We had a Green Lantern podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We got Star Wars, Star Trek.
Can I say something?
Comic books, hope of all trades.
Today, I actually posted my first episode of Hope of All Trades in over a year.
And even though it's like 5 weeks ahead right now, it's still even 5 weeks old when they finally hear it. Still, that's fresh
still
out
there.
The yeah,
I got together with my friends Billy and Allison, and we drank and started binge watching Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. So we did, I think, 3 or 4 episodes in the first night, and so as the first, like, 3 or 4 episodes come out, you can hear me progressively getting drunker.
Hey.
But you get to hear me talk about my favorite celebrity crush, Michael Sacca, and I definitely, Mr. Sacca has kind of ears that poke out, and you hear great lines of, like, when I ride the Sacca train, I'm holding on to those ears. So
I like that you specify that he's your favorite celebrity crush.
Yeah, my current favorite.
Plenty of room for other celebrity crushes, but he's
the favorite. My celebrity male harem. I can't wait to have it.
The CMH, Hope CMH.
My celebrity male harem. Don't worry, Tom Hiddleston, you're on that list too. I didn't forget about you, Benedict Cumberbatch. You guys are all, come on, Colin O'Donoghue, come on. You guys can come in. Come on, Chum McGuire. Let's have fun.
So Hope, where do they find you and your bevy of men folk?
You can find me and my bevy of man folk. Did I say that right? My lovely
man.
Harem of lovely celebrity gentlemen. My to-do list of men. At JGuys and Jedis, I run our Twitter, so come say hi to us. You can also find me at Hope Molnix, and I also write for whatthefangirl.com. So, yeah, that's where I am. Hi, I'm there.
I don't know if you can hear it, Hope, but it's starting to pour rain here, too.
No, I can't hear it, but I still have loud rain on my end, so... Well, I don't have anything else for this episode. Until next time. Did you have anything else?
No.
Well, until next time, may you have a cool guy, Cad Bane hat, be with you.
May life be a sweet, tasty Pez served from General Grievous's neck. If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.